Welcome to the Nerdcast Interviews. This is Cripple J. I've been out for the last couple weeks, on vacation one week I got canceled on. So I got a couple episodes to make up for it. This first one, though, is Michael Sweeney. He's the creator of STLHops.com and St. Louis Craft Beer Week. We sat down, talked about the events of the Craft Beer Week that starting this weekend, and we also talked about all things St. Louis beer. Hope you enjoy. Hey, Michael.
How's it going?
All right, Eugene Tierney from Nerdcast.
I'm sorry, I'm just now realizing that I can't hear myself in my own headphones, which is driving me a little crazy. I don't even know if you can change that in Skype. Can you change that?
I think you should be able to.
I would have thought so. Weird. I'll see what I can figure out. But anyway, yeah. So,
busy a couple weeks for you?
Just to say, yeah, a little bit.
So you started St. Louis Craft Beer Week. How did that come about?
I run a website called STL Hops in St. Louis, and so about, this would be our 9th anniversary, I guess a year after starting STL Hops, I looked around at other cities that were running Craft Beer Weeks and thought, hey, St. Louis should have one. And, you know, the weird part at that time was, you know, we had definitely some craft breweries around St. Louis, you know, 8-9 years ago, but nothing like we have now. So it's even crazier to me to see what this has all become, really.
It's a huge event. And, I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of the events you guys have done in the past few years, so I'm glad it's really picking up.
Yeah, I mean, having 30-some, or, you know, I think we started off with, like, you know, when I started this, you know, 8 years ago, I think we started with 30 some odd events. So having 150 of them is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and they're all across the city too, which I like having some of them out here in St. Charles.
Yeah, I mean, we've been trying to push more and more for this to be a metro-wide event. You know, we don't like it being just the city of St. Louis because, you know, and the other issue with it being just the city of St. Louis is it's like, if you're doing an event down the street from, you know, somebody else doing an event, then you both better be able to put on a hell of an event. Otherwise, you know, you're going to split your audience because some people are interested in one thing. And I mean, I'm not totally opposed to things being next door to each other. That's even better because typically people will go do both.
Yeah.
If they're in, you know, if you got the right amount of proximity. But, you know, having it spread out means somebody that lives in St. Charles doesn't have to drive all the way down to the city, or, you know, I don't have to go all the way out to St. Charles if I don't want to, unless it is a super awesome event, which I'm going to try to get up to Cagino's because I have not been up there. You know, they've been really active with St. Louis Craft Beer Week for the past at least 5 years, and I feel like a real schnur because I've never been able to get up there, but I'm going to try to make an effort at it this year.
So, for people that don't know, do you want to explain a little bit about what it is?
So, yeah, St. Louis Craft Beer Week is basically a giant celebration of craft beer in St. Louis. We now, like I said, we have 150 events in St. Louis, over 80 different venues around town. Basically, it's everything you can think about. It's, you know, tap takeovers, keep the pints, cool events, or just different events like yoga or trivia nights or, you know, a bunch of beer dinners, beer festivals, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, if you want to learn about beer or try beer or experience beer, awesome. You're going to have no better week to do it. If you are already into beer, then if you can't find some awesome events going on around town, you're crazy.
There's a lot you can find.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of events you can find around town. It's crazy.
So I've noticed that some of the breweries that take part in it are outside of St. Louis. How did you get those breweries involved?
I mean, typically, craft beer weeks around the country are, they they involve all of craft beer. You know, I've always talked about this, that, you know, I'd love the idea behind doing St. Louis only local craft beer week is interesting, but like every day is St. Louis craft beer week if you think about it. I mean, we're lucky to have all of these amazing breweries around town, so I don't think you would have the same reach if you just involved local breweries. And you know, we have so many awesome choices of beer here in America, so I like having a lot of these out-of-town breweries. So I mean, they've been with it from the start, so it's not been anything crazy getting some of these guys on board. Once we kind of set the foundation on how this all works, they've just kind of come along because they're used to that happening, you know, throughout the country.
So do like reps from those breweries come for it, or just supply you?
Sometimes sometimes we'll actually get like brewers and stuff coming in town. I know that Anheuser-Busch they just bought out Golden Road Brewing, and so they just went ahead and got like the owner of Golden Road Brewing to come in town for their launch of Golden Road this week. But I mean, they've got other brewers and people coming in town. Midwest Belgian Beer Fest on Saturday has a ton of brewers coming in town. But a lot of times it'll be the brewery reps that already either live in St. Louis or live close to St. Louis that they can come in.
So what event are you most excited for this week?
You know, that's kind of like asking, you know, which is your favorite kid. I mean, I'll probably attend, after it's all said and done, probably close to 20 to 25 events, maybe more. So I try to get around town as much as possible. Luckily, I'm not drinking beer at most of those. I'm just going in, saying hi, talking to people, checking things out. You know, but I'll still have a pint or two as through the course of the night. But, you know, Midwest Belgian Beer Fest is a lot of fun. I've always really enjoyed that. Really excited to see this new Brewers Picnic. That's kind of our kickoff event that starts on Friday. Bailey's restaurants are closing off Locust Street between 10th and 11th. And they're actually, like, sodding it and, like, having a huge, like, outdoor atmosphere type thing going on. So, like a picnic. So I'm super curious to see. How that's going to happen.
That sounds like a lot of fun. They're all like family oriented events, right? For the most part.
Yeah, that one is completely family oriented. Definitely, you know, people can bring down their kids. They face painting and stuff for the kids. It's definitely really made for families to come down.
So STL Hops, been a big fan of that for years. How did you get into starting that website?
My buddy Bill, about 2 years before that, or maybe a year before that, had created a website called STL Bites, and it was about food in St. Louis, and we were sitting at the Bottle Works and just kind of, I'm going to keep this family friendly, we were just kind of chit-chatting.
You don't have to.
Okay, good, because I cuss like a sailor. But anyway, it actually got worse as I started working at a distributor. I've always had kind of a potty mouth, and then I worked for a beer distributor, and, like, everybody cusses up a blue storm. And it, like, I went from sailor to a drunken sailor stabbed in the leg, so it's been bad. But anyway, so we were just chit-chatting about this beer, and he's like, you should really create a website about beer in St. Louis. And at the time, like I said, when I created it, you basically had Schlafly, O'Fallon, you know, other older, you had Square One, you had Morgan Street, Trailhead, which is still around. You had some of these older, more established craft breweries, but you didn't really have, I did not foresee what we would actually have now, and it's crazy how it keeps expanding and expanding. So, started doing that, was pretty excited about doing that. Did that for about 4 years, and then somebody took a wild try and hired me on as a sales rep at a beer distributor, having no experience ever selling beer. And actually, I was managing the portfolios, which is even more difficult. It's not even just going out and selling beer. It's, you know, trying to manage 10 brands and keep people happy and keep plates spinning without falling down. So I did that for about 5 years, and then almost 5 years. And then I just got hired on at Second Shift Brewing this past couple months, back in May, to be their operations manager.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's some great beers that come out of there.
Yeah, I'm super psyched about working there. We're really, really excited about moving into the city. So I'm super excited about moving in the city because it's about an hour drive for me one way.
Yeah.
So moving to where it's a 15-minute drive is pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I know a lot of St. Louis beer focuses on perennial and their releases. What do you think of some of the stuff that goes on during those releases there?
I'm really lucky, I guess I should say, that I'm really lucky in that, you know, I'm really good friends with Perennial guys. They were actually one of my brands that I was selling at Lore for a long time, so I'm really, really familiar with them. So when they do a lot of these releases, I'm typically volunteering and helping them run these releases and helping sell the beer and getting that stuff out, you know, side project as well. And so, like, I'm lucky to be able to see the craziness from behind the line and help people out and getting a beer. So I think it's just amazing to watch the enthusiasm that people have about craft beer in St. Louis and see some of these releases going on. And also, like, just having, and I say this lovingly, just having all these beer nerds come out and bring out different beers and sample them with people and share these beers. I still think that's one of the coolest aspects about beer is that people are really excited about sharing these things a lot of times.
Yeah, I have three brother-in-laws who like beer, but they're not that into it. So we do a lot of shares whenever we all get together. It's a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, we for a long time had a pretty nice sharing group. Two of the founding members of said sharing group moved out of town. They're in Chicago now. So, but yeah, we used to do just fun tastings. A couple of our epic verticals of Bourbon County Stout were always crazy. Basically doing every variant that we could find, plus every, all the way back from like 06 to, you know, 14 or 15. So it was pretty insane. So yeah, we loved doing that. We would just have a bunch of friends. It was just fun for us to hang. We enjoyed doing those, and they were always interesting to see these verticals, but it was always more fun for us just to kind of hang out and just, you know, shoot the shit.
Yeah. So, had some new breweries open recently. Have you been down to Narrow Gauge?
Not as of yet. That's part of the reason why I want to try to get out to Cugino's next week. Yeah, I have not gotten a chance to try any of their beers. I take that back. Mr. Hardesty brought some of his beer out to the STO Hops anniversary party back in, when we do that, February? So that was one of his first debuts of some of those beers, and I got to try his, I believe it was an Imperial Porter? I don't remember if it was, it definitely was a porter called Zavtrak, and it was phenomenal, and I praised him up and down for that. The other one he brought was an IPA, and I want to say it had Galaxy in it, and I just hate Galaxy hops, so there's nothing I can do. A well-made beer, but if you just don't like the hops, you're not going to like the beer. That's nothing I can do about that. So I love to give Jeff a lot of crap because he uses a lot of hops I don't like. But everybody else loves them. It's just my crappy palate. There's nothing I can do about that, nor him. So, but everybody seems to love the beers.
Yeah, I really want to get out there. I haven't been able to yet. How's the new O'Fallon facility?
Beautiful. It's state of the art. They are doing some crazy things out there. I was really impressed with what they've been what they've done. They, you know, I see them really moving into the next step, and I think that's kind of where they were going with some of this. They wanted to have that next leap to more accessibility for their bottles. Having a tasting room is just huge. I mean, it's a game changer for a lot of breweries just because, you know, people don't realize that, you know, when a brewery sells beer to a distributor, you basically, you know, try to sell it for as much as you can. The distributor puts its markup on, and then, you know, then it goes out to either a bar or a restaurant or retail facility, and they're putting their markup on. And so, like, the profits for breweries, they, don't get me wrong, they can do well, but it's teeny tiny compared to, like, having a tasting room. If I can sell you that same beer for, you know, I pay basically, you know, pennies on the dollar comparatively and charge $5 or $6, then I'm doing pretty well on as a whole. So, you know, them having that tasting room, I think, helps it out. Plus, it's just great to have your brand in front of people, and you're able to have people talk about your brand intelligently and explain it and, you know, show the passion and love for it. So, you know, that was a big move for them to put in that tasting room.
They also have a lot of stuff on tap there that you can't get in a bottle, so that's always a plus, too.
I think that's always really important for breweries to do things like that because it brings people in and gives them a chance to try stuff. And then you have, like, if they're doing it and they're trying something new, They can at least try it out over the bar and see how it does. If you find that this thing's selling like gangbusters, then awesome. But, you know, if you find that it's not doing as well as you thought, then, you know, don't move it into a production, you know, spot. So I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I like going to Schlafly a lot, is because they have a lot of stuff on tap that you can't normally find.
Yeah, it's just neat having that, you know, especially when you have those small batch things. You know, we see more and more breweries, and actually I think it's kind of slowed down, but I'll be honest, I've not been in the game. Even in 3 months, not being in the sales game, I don't see all the new stuff that comes in any longer. But, you know, we see more and more breweries come in to St. Louis, which is great. But if we never got another new brewery, and I don't mean locals that are opening up, but if we never got another nationwide brand, I'd be okay with that. I think we have an amazing variety of beers that are available. I think that you have, you know, you have a bunch of amazing locals that are available. And I think there's something fun about traveling to another city or state or, you know, country, if you're lucky enough, and trying beers that you can't get, you know, in your own backyard. I think having that, you know, that locality, you know, at a certain location is just amazing to have that.
Yeah, I get in trouble when we go on vacation because I usually come back with like 3 cases of beer.
If you're doing it right and you have, you know, you have a refrigerator, then yeah, it gets real dangerous. That was basically every time we went to, we've been to Hawaii twice, and both times we just go to the local grocery store and they're all picking out food and I'm just picking out like, you know, 2 12-packs to bring back to the brew.
Yeah, we were down in Florida and I picked up a 6-pack of High Life for the first time. And then I've had 2 coworkers go down since then and I'm like, get some High Life and bring it back for me.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling that's going to be available probably pretty soon here.
Oh, I hope so. It's one of my favorite beers.
I think with Oscar Blues being involved with them, I think you're going to see Oscar Blues trying to maybe contract their beers a little bit at the Oscar Blues facility. And then since they already can, it's not, you know, that's not really hard for them to kind of move into that. So we'll see. I obviously you don't get to be part of that and then not expand it. So I fully expect that to happen here soon.
So another thing I was surprised by is I went down to AB for their repeal of prohibition party. And I was surprised that they had not just craft beer on tap that they own, but they have their own kind of experimental beer.
Yeah, they've got a pilot brewery. It's the RPB. It's the Research Pilot Brewery. And I've done a lot of, because of my job, I was at an Anheuser-Busch house. So I've had a lot of tours in Anheuser-Busch and really, really cool tours of Anheuser-Busch. But that's one place I've not been, is to see their Research Pilot Brewery. I think it's a 20-barrel system. It's either a 10 or, no, I think it's a 10-barrel system. So, I mean, they produce a lot of beer out of that. If you put that in perspective, second shift's 8.5-barrel. I think Perennial's old one was 7 barrels. So, I mean, that's, when you think about what those guys put out, it's like, oh, that's a decent amount of beer. So I've definitely had some of those beers. And it's cool that they're selling them off in the tasting, the beer garden or
yeah,
whatever it's called. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I did not know that.
Yeah. It's worth checking out. They rotate them out, I think, every month.
Hmm. Yeah. I actually still, you know, we got lucky and we got to go to Europe for 3 weeks about a month ago. And while we were there, we did the Guinness tour because, you know, you're in Dublin and you might as well do the Guinness tour,
yeah,
even though
it's required.
Even though I've been told by people it's the most expensive pint of Guinness you'll buy, you know, while you're over here, because you have to pay to get in, which is already like a strike one for us Americans that get free brewery tours.
Yeah.
So you have to pay to get in. And then honestly, it's a great show of marketing. Like, you don't see any equipment, you know, you don't see anything that's being, you know, that's doing any brewing. You're not seeing, you know, it's not, I mean, Anheuser-Busch is shiny and clean, but this is still like, yeah, it's, there's nothing. And so it's a great marketing thing. It was neat seeing some of the video and internet stuff that they were doing, but otherwise, other than the view on the top, you know, floor, which looked over all of Dublin, which was amazing. I would not recommend it for people that don't give a crap about the icons and art advertising of Guinness.
I think it'd be fun to see.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, I try to talk anybody out of it, but you still should do it, absolutely.
So, when you're out someplace to eat and you see a beer, which one is like your go-to one?
You know, it always just depends. You know, luckily we've seen restaurants nowadays that have kind of a plethora of beers that you just didn't see in the past. I like Civil Life quite a bit. You know, I think a lot of their beers, one, they're sessionable, which is awesome. They've got a ton of flavor. I mean, they just do a bunch of cool styles. You know, so I kind of always gravitate towards them a little bit. I was always a Second Shift fanboy even before I started working for them. So, you know, if I see anything from I don't get into that rut of drinking just the beer that we make. But, you know, if Hibiscus Wit or Ardenerosis or Katie are on, especially Katie, I'll take drink that in an instant. Four Hands always has some great stuff. That new Dakine, I really like it. I know it's probably a little divisive. I'm sure some people don't like it, but I think it's pretty delicious. And Citywide's, you know, pretty knockout too. That was just, and I, you know, I've told those guys a couple different times, that was just a genius move. There's just everything about that. You got the beautiful can, the fleur-de-lis on it. They're donating to local charities, an easy drinking APA. Like, it's just all just a knockout move. So, you know, I'm pretty excited for those guys.
That's been one of my go-to recently.
Yeah, it's I think it's crazy delicious. It's just, it's funny to see it. You still, you can see it all around town. What were we at the other night? Oh, we went to Helium Comedy Club, and I said, my wife's like, hey, it's on the menu. I'm like, oh, yeah, it is. And I would order it, and they're already out, which it's because, you know, as I was walking through and I wasn't paying attention, I noticed afterwards, I'm like, oh, there's a ton of Citywide that was being drank in here tonight. So I think that's super cool.
Yeah. So I've been going to the 109 Brew House. What do you think of places like that and Flying Saucer that carry everything you can imagine?
I think that you can really make that work as long as you're finding unique ways to try to move through that beer as quickly as possible. You know, Nick's Pub, I think, has the most in St. Louis. And, you know, Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights, they do, you know, pitcher nights where they're just super, super cheap pitchers of local beer or craft beer in Seoul. And so that's just ways to try to move through that beer. You know, I don't have anything against it. You know, I love places like ITAP. I think they do a really good job of kind of rotating their beer. I live close to Global Brew here in Rock Hill, and they've done a really, really good job of, you know, having some awesome beer come in. I do think there's something really cool and unique now about, you know, maybe only having 12 draft handles, and it's just a well-curated rotating list, you know. I think there's something neat about that. But, you know, I think there's a nice medium in between, too, or whatever it is, in between. Because, you know, what you have over at Side Project Cellar, they have 24 taps, which that's still a lot of taps. But, you know, they got the different temperatures for all the different draft beer, you know, three different temperatures for the draft beer. So it's cool seeing that as well. I think, you know, you can have it the right way. So, I shouldn't say right way, because it's up to, you know, the places that are doing it. Places that are trying to move through beer, I think they're doing it the right way, no matter how many taps they have. So, you know, but anyway.
So, I know with Craft Beer Week this week, you're pretty busy. Who are some of the sponsors that you'd like to throw shout-outs to?
First of all, St. Louis Brewers Guild. You know, they are always a big sponsors for St. Louis Craft Beer Week. This year, the Bailey's Restaurants went ahead and was one of our principal sponsors. So both Brewers Guild and Bailey's Restaurants, which are, you know, Rooster, Bailey's Range, Bridge, a lot of just amazing craft beer places. So they're one of the principal sponsors. Yeah, we've got all of our sponsors up on stlbeerweek.com/sponsors. I'd feel bad start naming them, because I know I would actually miss a bunch of them, and that's not all that much fun. So it's easier to just say, hey, the two principals happened, and there's a bunch of other guys that really are really awesome, but I don't want to try to remember them all.
Yeah, and so the whole schedule's on the website, too.
Yeah, the whole schedule's up there right now. I will fully say there's probably still some more events that are going to go up, so don't stop checking it. I'm hoping, yeah, tomorrow is probably the last day for events that'll go up, so hopefully by that point you can start planning your days a little better.
And so I know one of the big ones is this weekend at Craft Beer Cellars.
Yeah, their Beer Geek Fest. I went to that last year and saw it, and it's just a really, really cool fest. I think what's neat about that is that with all of these different breweries and brewery reps coming out, you know, they call it Beer Geek Fest, but, you know, realistically, even if you're a novice, if you're just getting into craft beer, I think it's a great opportunity to go and try a bunch of beer. And if you like it, you can turn around and buy it, which is pretty cool. But, you know, you get free samples of all kinds of different beer. You get a chance to talk to the brewery reps or, you know, people that work at, well, I guess brewery reps, people work at the brewery, same thing. But anyway, you can talk to the people that work at the brewery and they can explain the beer. They can also find out what your likes, dislikes are so they can start guiding you. You know, that's really helpful to be able to do kind of stuff like that and try those kind of things. But they've also got cool beers. I know they're tapping and, you know, samples of bottles that they'll have. So it's got something for everybody.
It sounds very cool. I'm probably going to try to get to that one.
Yeah, it's a great event. Absolutely. Love those guys.
So anything else you want to promote while you're on?
No, I don't think so, man. You know, it's interesting to me to see, like I said, just what craft beers come in St. Louis. So I'm super proud of everybody that's done all this awesome stuff in St. Louis to make craft beer this awesome. So it's pretty cool.
So I'll go ahead and let you go because I know you got a lot of work to do for this weekend. But after you're at Second Shift for a while, if you got anything you want to promote, just let me know and we can do this again or I can put stuff on our website.
If we do something like that, we can try to get Steve Kreider on as well. He's a real hoot when it comes to just everything. So he'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. So there you have it. That was Michael. You can find more information in the schedule of events at stlbeerweek.com and check out stlhops.com for more St. Louis beer news in general. Here is Giving Up by Welcome Home. Say hi.
Hi.
You'll know.